Right. Hello. Mic check. I lost my muffler. But anyway, I'll find it, the little muffler thing. Brother Randy's always... I'm always losing something with this one little unit of a microphone right here, Brother Randy. But anyway, it's good to see everybody. Hope everybody's been doing good this week. We got old Robert. Everybody remember Robert? He was here, what? It was, man, 4 or 5 years ago, something like that? Okay. Yeah. Well, good to see you there, brother. Good to have you back. And I'm going to put that over there for now. We're going to do things a little different tonight. I asked, of course, Brother Jeff. He faithfully sings for us every Wednesday night. And since he did such a good job on the Easter drama and all the backdrops and all the scenes and all that, we told him, say, you just worship tonight the Lord and rest. And want to have Brother Dakota sing one for us in just a few moments. But we're going to do what we normally do on Wednesday nights. For now, we're going to open up and mention some things, mention some people. And then we're going to have a time of prayer together. And then Brother Dakota will play one for us. Miss Nancy McClendon, she actually had an abscess removed today, I believe it was, a tooth. And but she's at home. She's doing good, recovering from that. And then, of course, Miss Krista. Did she? Okay. She came home. Praise the Lord for that. Miss Krista had a little bit of a hip repairment of the cartilage in the hip. She had that repaired, and she's back home, so that's good. We praise the Lord for that. Continue to pray for her, though, in her healing process. Miss Lucy Godfrey, I know she's been spending a lot of time with her sister Bettina. So let's remember Miss Lucy on that, if we would. And of course, Brother Harold Dolph, remember him. Diane Ely, as she continues to recover from the infection that she has within her bloodstream, I believe it is. I want to say. Of course, the back surgeries that she had revealed this infection that she has. Of course, it has nothing to do with the surgeries. And so that's something that all that came about through the surgeries that she had. But please continue to remember her, if you would. Miss Diane Ely, of course, Brother Randy as well. Jim Jr., he's continuing to get better from the surgery that he had, his foot surgery. A lot of folks having surgery around here. And but let's remember him. Brother Leonard, Miss Dolores Palmer, Brother Leonard, he goes, I want to say, on May 1st, which will be next Thursday. Hold on. Is that right? Yes, National Day of Prayer. Next Thursday, Brother Leonard's going. Of course, he's in South Carolina with Miss Dolores, but he's going to the oncologist to discuss his cancer matters. As you know, he came off of his pill and all medications, and so they're just trusting the Lord right now during this time. And let's remember them. Miss Dawn Daly and her back as it recovers. Continue to pray for her. Miss Claudia Darby, she needs our prayers. Has anybody spoke to Miss Claudia this week? She doing okay? Doing pretty good. Okay. But let's continue to remember her in our prayers, if you would. Let's see, Miss Dawn Capistrano, she had surgery today. And did she do good on that? Good. Appreciate you guys taking care of that with her. But let's continue to remember her in prayer. And Miss Connie Norton, of course, my grandmother, who, Lord willing, will have back surgery soon. Don and Carla Rich, which is, today is their anniversary? Yes. All right, 43 years? Okay. Hey, there you go. 40. Next Wednesday night, okay. Don and Carla Rich, of course, our missionaries to Peru. This is their home church. And, wow, happy anniversary, guys. If you go back and watch this later, we love you and can't wait to see you. And let's do remember them, of course, over in foreign fields and as they're continuing to do their work over there and as they have help and all that, distributing Bibles and such. Let's continue to remember them. Appreciate them. And our shut-ins, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCrickard, Joyce Manning, but then James Tolan Brown in the Marines, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College, and Jamie Carden in the Air Force. Let's remember all these things. Did everybody enjoy the Easter drama Sunday? Yes. Awesome. Miss Lee Ellen? And Miss Connie Teague, thank you. Thank you for that. Ceylon's not. I know he's been having some trouble with his sugar for a while now, actually. Yes, and let's continue to remember Miss Connie Teague. She's had a rough time trying to heal from her surgery. She's been at home for a while now, a good while. So we're ready to have her back. So thank you for that, Miss Lee Ellen. And so the Easter drama, you like it? It was good, huh? I want to thank Brother Jeff and Miss Sharon for helping out with the scenes we had, the scene, and all of that, all the drama team who all helped, and the sound and audio, or sound and the video, actually, video work we had with that. It was a wonderful production, and we appreciate that, all the hard work that went into that, and so let's just let's just continue to remember one another in prayer. Got a lot of things going on, a lot of good events coming up. We just posted this afternoon, in fact, a movie night, outside movie night, on May the 31st. That's going to be on a Saturday here at the church, and that will be our first outreach. And we're going to be reaching out from the parking lot, and so everybody from the community is invited. Free popcorn, hot dogs, and drinks. Be a great way to invite people to church and give them something in the process, and church fellowship for us as well. And so we're going to be watching The Forge. It's a Christian movie, great Christian movie. So looking forward to that as well. Many, many other things going on and here at the church, and we'll let you know as we make plans with different things. We'll let you know what's going on. All right, you glad you're here tonight? Say amen. Amen. All right, well, let's all come, those who would like to come and meet us in the altar. We'll have a time of silent prayer together, and you can pray where you're at, or you can come down forward, whatever you like to do. Then Brother Dakota will have a song for us.
And I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I'll fall apart. 'Cause you're the one that guides my heart. And Lord, I need you. And oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. And holiness is Christ in me. And Lord, I need you. And oh, I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. And oh, I need you. Every hour I need my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one.
Appreciate that, Brother Dakota. We need the Lord tonight, don't we? We need Him every second, every minute, every hour. We need the Lord. Appreciate the Lord tonight and appreciate you being here. And again, it's good to have some familiar faces back with us. And good to see Marcus in the back. And dear brother from out in our community, lives in the area. And of course, it's good to see Miss Brooke in the back. And it's just good to be here. We're growing, it feels like. And what a blessing, what a blessing. We're going to be in the book of Acts tonight, chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. I want to mention some things here, and hope it'll be a blessing to you. I love Wednesday nights. It's an opportunity to come aside from the rush of the going and coming in the world during the week, and to plug in to the Lord, and to fellowship with one another. So very important that we plug into the Lord and fellowship with one another as well. And I'm just so thankful for Wednesday nights. It's so thankful for you as well. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to look at verse number 7 down through verse number 12. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you tonight. I pray, Lord, for the next few moments that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart. And Father, your people has come tonight to receive a word from you, to learn in Bible study, to be encouraged, oh Lord, to receive direction. And Father, you may even challenge us while we're here as well, and that's fine too. Lord, we just give you this service. We pray that you'll take our thoughts and the things we ponder today and quicken us to them, Lord. Use us as a vessel tonight for your honor and your glory. And Father, we'll just praise you in advance for what you're going to do. Be with the young people downstairs. Give us all safety and protection in this building as we worship together tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. The book of Acts, chapter number 20. I'd like for you to notice in verse number 7, if you would. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. How about that? Some believe Paul preached about a 5 or 6 hour message all the way to midnight. And there were many lights, verse 8, in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen to a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." He therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day. So he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. I'm going to stop reading there in verse number 12. That's reading Acts chapter number 20, verse 7 down through verse number 12. I want to talk to you tonight about a man named Eutychus who fell to his death from a window. Verse number 9, the Bible says that he fell down from the third loft. The third loft. Now, we can say third loft or third floor. If you want to get some kind of distance in mind, he fell probably 30 to 40 foot down, and he died on impact. What a terrible thing to happen in church. What a terrible thing to do, fall asleep while the preacher is preaching anyway. I know that, it happened to Paul, and it happens, okay? It happens. But this man, Eutychus, he fell to his death some 30 to 40 foot, and he died right on impact. Tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit on this subject, the impact of Eutychus. The impact of Eutychus. Now, the impact I'm talking about may not be what you think. Not impact he had on the ground, and he had an impact on the ground, but the impact that he had on the church and the community. There is a lesson wrapped up in this story of Eutychus. The man didn't just fall out of the window and died. And of course, We know that he lived, but we know that this didn't happen to happen. Something happened out of this, and it was a great time of encouragement for the church and the community. And so tonight, the impact of Eutychus. The impact of Eutychus. I want to share with you just a few short things. Don't know how long I'll be, but we'll go until the Lord's done. And I hope, again, I hope the message, the lesson will be a help to you and to me. The first thing I want to mention about the impact of Eutychus, we see the particulars of the impact of Eutychus. And what I mean by that is, I want you to notice in verse number 7, some things here. The Bible says, and upon the first day of the week. Upon the first day of the week. Now, we know this was most likely Sunday. And we know the Lord had already risen from the grave, and that already had already taken place. And so worship, gathering around God's Word, takes place on Sunday, and that has transitioned to Sunday because of the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we worship on Sunday. Jesus got out of the grave on Sunday. And so upon the first day of the week, these men, these disciples, Paul the preacher, and even the community, they were all gathered together. Of course, we still believe in worship around here. We believe Sunday's the Lord's Day. Of course, every day's the Lord's Day, but Sunday's the Lord's Day. Online watching church is fine, but in person is so much better. We need the fellowship together. We need to be able to share burdens, and we need the opportunity to use our spiritual gifts. And so we see that here, that they were gathered around the Word of God on the first day of the week. Now, the Bible says, when the disciples came together to break bread. So not only did they have a time of togetherness and together around God's Word, but it was a time of a breaking of bread. Some believe that they observed communion during this time. Maybe they did, and maybe they observed communion, but at the same time, maybe they just broke bread. They had a meal together. Both of these would be fine. The takeaway is they had fellowship together. They were spending time together. They were breaking bread together. They were assembled together on the first day of the week. And I want to say that we need each other more and more, not less and less. We need to come together and surround ourselves around God's Word more and more, not less and less. We need fellowship more and more, not less and less. We're living in a world that's full of violence and hatred and liberalism and all of that. And we're out there, and we're trying to provide for our families. We're trying to be what God wants us to be. And it's easy to get beat down in this old world. It's easy to get discouraged in this old world. And so, therefore, that's why we must not, as Hebrews says, forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But we are to come together more and more. And in that verse in Hebrews 10:35 or 10:25 says that we are to exhort one another, encourage one another. You know, the Christian that doesn't get encouraged is the one that doesn't come to church. Now, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Sometimes when I go through, I don't want to say a sour patch, but when I go through a rough time, one of the things that my flesh wants to do is retreat. I want to isolate. I don't want to be around anybody. But I've been in this thing long enough to know when I go, when I don't want to go. And this is beyond even being a pastor. Before I was a pastor, I went to church regular. And I know and I've learned that when I go, even when I don't want to go, I end up being blessed beyond measure. Listen, it could be a little blessing, it could be a big blessing, but I know this, if I stay home, the devil has a way of talking to me. If I stay home, I have a way of running things through my mind. And what about this? What about that? What if this happens? What if that happens? And I get in this negative mindset, and before I know it, I've got there's fears welling up in my heart, and there's discouragement and all of those things. So they came together. They broke bread. And the Bible says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. And so the scriptures were opened. Paul was heralding. Preaching here means to herald. It also can mean to evangelize. Of course, these disciples were already believers, but Paul opened the scriptures and he preached to them from his heart, from the Word of God. Paul preached, and the Bible says he was ready to depart on the morrow. So Paul was going back visiting those churches that he planted, and he was checking on the brothers and the sisters in the Lord, and he was encouraging them. But then he was getting ready to leave on the next day. I seen this today, and I thought what a blessing this was and where Paul's heart was. Because look at that last phrase in verse 7. And continued his speech until midnight. You know, this was his last night there. He could have just, Brother Jeff brought a little sermonette, went to the dinette, and went home and sat, and left the next morning. But he didn't do that. We have a picture here. We see the passion for Christ that Paul had. He was in the ministry. He was ministering the word. This has a showing of his zeal for the Lord. Man, I wonder if we started teaching and we went 5 or 6 hours, how many of us would still be here? I wonder how many preachers or pastors or teachers could teach for 5 or 6 hours. I'll tell you what, that's a long time. But you see, this shows the inclination Paul had towards spiritual things. It shows the passion and the zeal that he had. He continued his speech until midnight. That's my prayer, is that we don't get in a hurry to leave when we get here. You know? A lot of people, they make the effort to get here, but when they get here, they're ready to leave. How are you going to receive something when you're already to leave when you get here? It's almost best not come at all if you're already to leave when you get here. But what would happen if we truly came here on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and we really wanted to hear from the Lord? We really wanted to pour into each other. We really wanted to edify the saints. And we didn't constrict it with time or looking at the clock and all of those things. I wonder what would happen. You know, in the Old Testament, when it came to the high priest and the service of the Lord, part of the duty of that, leading up to assuming that role, they had to be in the temple for about 7 days with no connection to the outside world. It was a time of purification the priest had to have in the service of the Lord. Boy, what would that be like if we had a lock-in in here for 7 days? I don't know. We may be pulling our hair out. Who knows? But there again, it's a cutoff from the outside world, like the priest did in the Old Testament, and like we see here in these verses. In like manner, Paul, he was preaching till midnight, and nobody was in a hurry. They all wanted something spiritually. So tonight we see the place here. We see the place. We see the day. We see the activities. We see that there was preaching. And so there's some particulars in verse number 7, but also I want you to look at verse number 8 where there's some more particulars I want to mention. The Bible says, "And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together." I got a hair hanging off my beard. You say, how big was this place they were in? Well, the Bible mentions that there were many lights. And I'm guessing in order to light up, to be using many lights, they're trying to light up a big room. And so this was probably a big area. "And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together." And so this was a big room. It was a place with many lights. The gospel was being preached. Bread was being broken. It was on the first day of the week, and believers were there, and it was taking place all the way till midnight. That's the particulars of this story, talking about the impact of Eutychus. Now, not only the particulars of this story I want you to look at, but the person. The person. Verse number 9. "And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus." Eutychus. That's a weird kind of name, isn't it? Eutychus. We'll get to that in just a moment. And so I want to say this, that this person, his name is Eutychus. And then I want to say in verse number 12, he was a young man. Verse number 12, "And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted." So Eutychus was a young man, but also he was a sleepy man. Verse number 9, "And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep." So he was a young man. Verse 9 and verse 12 says that about being a young man. He was a sleepy man. But then he was a man who had an accident. The Bible says, "And fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead." And so he was a young man, he was a sleepy man, a man who had an accident, and then he was a dead man. Eutychus. All of this taking place at the same time in the same building. This young man named Eutychus, he fell asleep. He sunk down with sleep, and he fell down from the third loft, some 30 to 40 feet, and he was dead. That's the person. Now, there's a positive here. Just stay with me. We're going somewhere with it. There's a positive. There's the particulars. There's the person, but then the positive. Notice in verse number 10. Now, he was dead. He fell out of the window. But verse 10 says this, "And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." Paul went down, he quit preaching, he went down to where Eutychus' body was, and the Bible says that he fell on him and embracing him. The word "fell" here means to seize or lie on. The word "embracing," listen to this, it means to earnestly throw the arms about one. You remember the Old Testament, the Shunammite woman and the son that died, and how Elijah stretched forth his body on him and the boy came alive? This is a similar situation. But this is what I want you to see out of here. That no doubt Paul, he was concerned and And this guy, he fell from the window. He was dead. No doubt, Paul, he seized him. He seized the opportunity. He embraced him. No doubt, he prayed for him. The scripture doesn't say that, but I'm sure that's what he did. So this tells us that Paul not only preached the gospel, but he practiced the gospel. Paul not only shared God's word, but he cared for people. He went down to him, he seized him, he wrapped his arms around him, and the Bible says here, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Paul believed in God for him. He believed in God for... You say, what does this have to do with me tonight? It has a lot to do with both of us. All of us. Because while we should preach the gospel, every Christian should be a gospel carrier, we should also practice what we preach. If we preach love, we must show love. Practice love. So many people around us are dead in trespasses and sins. But how many of us actually go after them and embrace them and love on them and see that and believe in them? As Paul said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. He believed in God for this young man. Do you know somebody tonight who fell out of church? Do you know somebody tonight that in the community that is not saved, that is lost and dead and trespasses and sins? I'm sure you do. I do. I know people who fell out of church that are saved, and I know people in the community and even in my family that is lost and on their way to hell, dead in their trespasses and sins. You know, sometimes when a fellow brother or sister falls out of church, sometimes all the self-righteous Christians have a way of, yeah, I knew that was coming, thumbing their nose at them. Oh, that wouldn't have been, I'm not going to fall out of church. Be careful. Be careful. Oh, I can't believe that they fell, and I can't believe that they sinned, and I can't believe that they're away from God. Be careful. Listen, I like what Spurgeon said, but for the grace of God, there go I. Paul says, I die daily. In Romans chapter number 7, Paul talks about it. He says, the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, I do. And he cried out in his attempts that he tried to serve the Lord and tried to honor him in his fallen attempts. Paul cried out and said, oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, wretched man. Now, I love that terminology, oh, wretched man, because that terminology there in Romans 7, I believe it may be the last verse in Romans 7, thereabouts, but it's through the idea of Roman punishment. You know what they would do in Bible days as a source of punishment? They would strap a dead person on their back or chain them up to a living person. Okay? And part of their punishment was to drag, if they were going to run away, they had to drag a dead man with them. If they were going to move on over to another area, they had to drag a dead man with them. And no doubt they were probably forced to drag a dead person with them. And so Paul is saying, I know that I'm saved, but at the same time, I've got this dead man strapped to me. Everywhere I go, he's there. Everything I do, it's like carrying a ton of bricks. I can't go anywhere that this dead man is not with me. You know, those of us who are saved tonight, we are crucified with Christ. Our old man is dead, yet he is still with us. He is still with us. We may be saved, but we're not we're not perfect. We are forgiven, but we're not sinless. The only sinlessness about us is the righteousness of Jesus. And so there's this corpse, this dead man, and so, you know, people fall out of church and people fall away from God. But I want to say tonight, but for the grace of God, there go I. And Paul says, I got to die daily to this old man. In another place, he talks about, I buffet myself. That phrase, I buffet myself, it means to blacken the eye. Paul says, I don't live a normal life like a lot of people. I have to restrict myself. I have to put restrictions in my life. And it's self-discipline that does it. I blacken my eye. I restrict myself. Listen, we got to know our limits. Paul also said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient for me. Paul says, I'm under grace, my sins are gone, but that doesn't mean that I can just do anything I want to do. He says, because there's things out there that may not be particularly a sin, but it's not expedient for me. It won't further me along in my Christian walk. You know, in Hebrews chapter number 12, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. You see, weights are things that aren't necessarily a sin, but they have a way of weighing you down. They have a way of weighing me down. You want to know what weighs me down the most? Food. Food weighs me down. Physically, it weighs me down the more I eat of it. That's why I'm on another tear physically, trying to diet and exercise and regain my youth. But there are things, and listen, I say this being funny, but I mean it with everything that's within me. If I struggle eating cake, and I'm trying to eat right and exercise, I don't need to go by Publix and buy a cake and set it on my counter and say, I'm not going to eat you. I'm not going to do that. Okay? Make no provision for the lust of the flesh. And so we're under grace, and all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. When I say all things are lawful, that don't mean we have a right to sin, because those who are truly saved do not look at it that way. We have a desire to please God, but you know what I'm saying. It's not a sin card. You can freely sin that grace may abound. But we're under grace and all these things, but still we have to keep ourselves out of the ditches. We got to stay on the straight and narrow. That's what we want to do. That's what God wants us to do. He has a better way. And so that's what Paul is talking about much of the time in his epistles. And so we see here that when it comes to the positive, that Paul, he stopped preaching, he went down, and he embraced the one who fell. Lord Jesus, let us be people who embrace. I want to be a Christian who doesn't point or judge. Everybody may be passing the beggar by on the side of the road, and you know, the religious crowd and the righteous and all of that, so to speak. But I want to be the one. I want to be the good Samaritan. I want to be the one that stops and helps out a brother or sister in the Lord or somebody in the community that needs help. I want to be that kind of person. Let us be like Paul and embrace fellow man. Listen, we're called to embrace fellow man for salvation. We may not look the same. We may not talk the same. We may come from different backgrounds, but inside our bodies, we all bleed red. Amen. Jesus died for everybody. And so that ought to be the mentality that we have, is to embrace man in general. It's been, you know, listen, we're living in an area right here in Powder Springs that is multicultural. And the last time I checked, Jesus wants to save everybody and bring everybody in the fold. That doesn't mean everybody will get saved. White, black, Latino, Haitian, any of it, Venezuelan, you know, anybody, Chinese, Japanese, the Lord died for everybody. And I feel like if this church is in this area, God knew about it, and we need to reach out to everybody. Not just one race or one class of people, but we need to reach out to everybody. At least that's my outlook anyway. And I feel like that's what the Bible teaches. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, and said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Paul was trusting God for this individual, that God would heal him, that God would raise him up. Oh, let us believe God for people so that their lives would change. Let us believe in people. Let us believe in God for people. As we're believing in people, let us believe in God in those people, that God will do a great work, that God would touch, that God would save, that God would somehow call them back, that they would listen to the call to come back to the house of God, to worship and to gain confidence spiritually, to be encouraged. That's what it's all about. Let us believe God in the restoration that God can do in people. Let me mention this. Verse number 11, the Bible says, when he therefore was come up again, now I believe this is speaking of Paul, he went down, verse number 10 said, and Paul went down, verse number 11, when he therefore was come up again, that's speaking of Paul, and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. Now, Paul went up. They broke bread. They ate. They talked a long while. This, again, is fellowship amongst God's people. And the Bible says, even till break of day, and then he departed. This went beyond midnight. No hurry to leave. What were they talking about? I can tell you one thing they were talking about for sure. Look at verse 12. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Which means they were a lot comforted. Not just a little, but a lot. I'll tell you what they were talking about. One thing they were talking about was how that Eutychus fell to his death and God touched him and raised him up again. That's one thing they were talking about. How that God touched this man Eutychus that fell, yeah, he fell asleep in church, and yeah, he fell to his death, but Paul went down there and embraced him and believed God that he would touch him, and God touched him. Boy, wouldn't it be great around here to see God touch some people, save some people, bring some people back that's living in the world that's been backslid for a while. Wouldn't that be great for them to come back and see God touch? Wouldn't that be great if we just extended our outreach at this church and we began to embrace people at the skate park, embrace people at the Waffle House, embrace people at Johnny's Barbecue, and as we embraced them, we believed that God would do things, and they started coming to church. I'll tell you what we would be talking about. I tell you what we will be rejoicing about, and I got a good reason to feel like we may not care that 12 o'clock rolls around on Sunday morning, because Jesus would be on the move. What a blessing. Man, I tell you, to be sharing God's word and not care about the clock and people responding, and thank God for you guys that do respond to the invitation. And I know coming down front is the only place to respond. You can respond in the pew. You can respond on your way home, at home, at work, school. But, man, I'm thirsty here at the church. And I know you're thirsty too here to see God do some things because you've told me. And I see it in your actions. You want God to do something. Yes, in this multicultural community. One time somebody said, you might want to think about relocating. Relocating? Really? For what? To set up a compound somewhere in the woods for white people only? No. No. Forever, man. Listen, this place, this is, while I'm here, while I'm preaching, while I'm pastoring and assuming this role, it is a whosoever gospel. And I'm talking to some people that believes the same thing. And I thank you for believing that. Listen, when we get to heaven, there's going to be all kinds of nations and tongues singing God's praise around the throne. There's going to be people there, I'm sure, that you didn't even think would be there. There may even be some people there that one day you were just walking in Walmart and you said, I don't know. But somehow they got there because somebody told them about Jesus. What a blessing that's going to be on that day. Again, verse number 12, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Eutychus made an impact on this body of believers and the community. Oh, I'm looking for some people to embrace, aren't you? I'm looking for some people who have fallen in life. I'm telling you, it makes me want to ball up like a bulldog. Go, I'm telling you, that's how I feel about it, Brother Robert. That's how I feel about it. Because while everybody is so self-righteous and thumbing their nose and don't care, listen, I care, you care, we care, and just want to go and embrace somebody. I want to be for the underdog. I want to go and scoop them up and bring them to the house of God and feed them spiritually, feed them physically, be a blessing to them. Man, that, you know, the definition of joy is J, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And if you put it in that way, you follow those words, Jesus, others, yourself, you will have joy. Tonight, the lesson is just that. It's about the impact of Eutychus. And so as we go our separate ways tonight, let us just keep this lesson fresh in our minds. You're already sharing the gospel. You tell me all the time. This one you've talked to, that one you've talked to, this one. You just let your light shine to this one and that one. But let us just keep on doing that. And as we get ready to have our first outreach, community outreach with a drive-in, a different approach this time. Well, of course, we'll go out a good while before, a weekend or two or three maybe, and publicize it and invite people in. Who knows the conversations that can strike up just inviting people over. Hey, you want to come to this drive-in? We're showing this awesome movie. We'll feed you. You know, sometimes you can get people to come who have physical hunger and they can leave with a spiritual hunger. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for the truth of your word. And God, I pray that we would just be conscious of everywhere we go and anything that we do. We're not a perfect people. We are, those that are saved are a forgiven people. We're not perfect, but we just want to invite people to come and see what God has done. That's what we want to do, Lord. We want to invite people to church. We want to tell them about Jesus. We want to tell them about the change that Jesus made in our lives. We just want to be a blessing, Lord. Make an impact. Influence people in the right direction. So help us do that. Prepare our hearts as we leave and go through the rest of the week. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for Sunday. Lord, let it be an awesome, amazing Sunday morning, Sunday night as we worship you here at Calvary. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, anything to mention before we go our separate ways? So good to see each and every one of you. And again, Robert, man, you surprised me tonight, man. Awesome. Here lately I've been making some noises, but I don't know. Sometimes I just get in that that mind frame, I just want to growl sometimes when I'm back here. I don't know. But so good to meet your wife and all. So good to have you tonight, ma'am. And what a blessing. All right. Well, Robert, you want to close us out in prayer tonight? You feel okay to do that? Okay. Amen. All right. You're at liberty to go.